All right. Welcome to the Toddcast. That's right. We named it after Todd.
I did not know that.
So I am John, as you know, the general manager of the company. I'm with Sabine, who's a fairly new addition to our staff at the Mills.
Yeah.
And she's kind of, it's kind of cool to have her on here because she's very, very green into the nerd scene. So her tastes are very off the wall. Mm-hmm. It's kind of cool, but she's loving every minute of it and learning a lot of cool stuff. So what is some of the stuff that you feel that you have picked up from the store that you really, really like, whether it be customers, storylines, product, what has drawn itself to you?
Well,
or what have you drawn to? Whatever.
I was going to say, obviously, I have an addiction to pop figures now. So I have a good little wall starting of those. Honestly, I'm super into the comics. Like, I had never been exposed to them, actually, like, ever in my life.
Oh,
so
that's crazy.
It's really interesting. I guess my parents weren't really into it at all. So no, I'm honestly loving the crazy stories that I'm seeing. I just see something, I'm like, oh, that's a comic book? Like,
you figured out that things you didn't realize were comics were comics?
Yeah, no, it's like every single time I see it, I'm like, why am I surprised now at this point?
What is this crazy thing that people are talking about? Oh, it's a comic book.
Yeah, exactly.
I should know this.
Yep.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we are happy to have you on the staff, and I'm happy to have you on the Toddcast. It is something, like I was telling you before we went on, that you know, we used to do a lot, and it's part of my early New Year's resolution to do this weekly again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to find new people to do them with so that I have like a plethora of people to hear from.
Mm-hmm.
And so does everybody who listens to us, because there are a bunch of you. Surprise.
That's awesome, though.
Right? So, trying to get this website to load so I can make sure I give you guys the right date. Well, one thing I can talk about is we have local comic shop day coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, even before that, this Saturday, we have a PPTQ for Magic at the Mills for Ixalan. I don't remember. Is it up there? Oh, it's standard, $25. Come on out and hang out. Dan from Butler will be here as our head judge. He's a great dude. He loves high fives. So come out and hang out with him. And then on November, what? I'm trying to find the date. Hold on. November
18th. Is it?
18th. Yeah. The Saturday before Thanksgiving is local comic shop day. It's pretty rockin'. There are all kinds of cool exclusive things for that day. Variant covers. There's a pop vinyl, I think. Some other stuff. And we're doing a sale across the company that is spend $50 before tax and get 10% off. Spend $100 before tax and get 20% off your whole purchase all day long. So if you don't want to deal with Black Friday shopping and you want to just kind of get some deals early and you got a bunch of stuff you want to get, come on in. You know, all day long, every single location. It does not... No discount stack, so your sub discount, if you already get one, does not stack. And it's going to be a hella good time. And then new to us this year on December 17th, so the Uniontown Mall contacted Todd and said, hey, you guys do that con in Century 3. We're like, yeah. And they're like, we want to do like a show in the middle of the mall, not just in a space. We're like, okay, when do you want to do this? And then they told us. So December 17th, which is supposed to be like the craziest shopping day of the year, from 10 to 7 at the Uniontown Mall, you can come down and check out the Uniontown Comics and Collectibles show presented by New Dimension Comics and Three Rivers Comic Con. And you can apply for it right at... newdimensioncomics.com. It's in the little scroll bar at the top. Make sure you check it out. Or you can contact your local NDC and they should be able to direct you to the website, which is literally just a post. It's really long, so you might as well just go to the website and look for it. But that's pretty much the stuff we have coming up. We do have a Black Friday sale coming up, but we're not talking about that yet. We will probably talk about that next week. It's going to be fun, like always. I will tell you that Mills and Ohio are opening at 6, and everybody else is opening at 8. So lots of cool stuff, lots of fun. All right, now we're going to talk about some comics. my first book is Nightwing the New Order, number 3 of 6 by Higgins and McCarthy. So this is a kind of a cool book because it takes place like in 2040. So it's post all the superheroes like getting wrangled and Batman's dead and Dick Grayson's kind of like trying to like basically shepherd all these superpowered beings and like basically take their powers away or put them in cryostasis so that they can't use them.
Interesting. Okay.
He has married Starfire and had a kid, and they realize that his kid has powers.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So his kid ends up getting arrested. He gets arrested. In this issue, like, he totally breaks out of being arrested, beats the crap out of everybody, flies out of a multi-story window, and just lands on the street.
Nice.
I was like, that is some of the best panel work I have ever seen in my life. And then he goes out and he finds Tim, and like Tim's still a hacker, which is hilarious. And he's living in like a suburban home, so he's just like, yeah, it's cool. I'll check it out. Try to find your kid. So then you find out they turned the Batcave into like a museum. He just like gets in line at the Batcave and just jumps off the side down to the lower level, steals his old. Like, see, look at that.
I was gonna say, that's an interesting like, panel work right there.
Yeah, right? That's flips really cool. Flips down into the lower panel, steals his old Nightwing outfit nice. And his old motorcycle and gets on the road. Batwoman, on the other hand, is trying to find him. And it's weird because she's the one that's actually in charge of all this stuff, but Dick got all the glory for it. They never really saw eye to eye with it. And then, like, Dick runs into John Stewart, who, like, just they have this really awesome, like, Green Lantern Nightwing fight, which is cool. Some great artwork there, too. And then at the end of it, you see the Flash and what looks like Starfire. I think that is Starfire. Those green eyes tell me that it's Starfire.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. It's kind of like an Elseworlds future type thing where, you know, all kinds of craziness is happening. Check it out. It's $3.99. It's 6 parts. And that was part 3. So what book do you want to talk about first?
I'll talk about Kid Lobotomy first.
Cool. So this is Black Crown, right?
Yeah. Yep.
It's a newer publisher.
Yes.
Or newer series out of the IDW series.
Okay. So. The reason that I was interested in this one is because the artist, Tessa Fowler, she did a lot of artwork for a different podcast, or not a podcast,
comic.
Twitch.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A Twitch stream. Yeah, she did comic, or not comic, but like artwork for them, which was really cool. But Kid Lobotomy, I'm just going to say straight off the bat, is wild. It is the most ridiculous story I've ever heard of. So it's about a kid. His name is Kid.
How inventive.
Yeah, right? Creative. He, in his early life, he started going a little crazy. Like something was wrong mentally. So his dad, super rich guy who owns this hotel, it's basically his empire. But he ends up sending his kid to try to get like psychiatric help and like psychiatric tests and everything, but then decides to take them out and does at home treatments. Some are legal, others are illegal. It's good stuff. And none of it seems to be working. So then they do a lobotomy on the kid.
Wow. You've had to have tried everything to get to that point.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's, yeah, they do some crazy stuff, but, So they do the lobotomy, and he's like, oh, I think I'm starting to feel like
normal,
somewhat normal.
Yeah.
But then he realizes his madness isn't gone. It's just changed. Yeah.
Sweet.
He.
Tell me more.
So in this hotel, his dad decides to try to give him responsibility of trying to upkeep the hotel, hoping that it'll help him figure his stuff out. The part of the madness that kid is going through is living with like the ghosts of and like secrets of this hotel. And in it, he also runs, I guess, kind of his own little lobotomy.
Interesting.
Yeah, underground type thing.
Like he's like running like a lobotomy company.
Very secret.
Thing?
I don't know if it's like a company or if it's
like a club, like a fight club. That you don't talk about. You don't remember
of,
it because it's
kind of.
You got a lobotomy.
Yeah, exactly.
Lobotomy club.
He also likes to eat the parts of the brains that he takes out. Yeah, so that's his madness is all over the place. And I won't spoil what happens at the end because it is a crazy cliffhanger. He ends up helping someone with a lobotomy, and I won't say anything more about that. But
and
that
who's the writer?
The writer, Milligan.
Which Milligan? Should be on the inside. Maybe.
Peter Milligan.
Peter Milligan?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. That totally sounds like something Peter Milligan would do.
Yeah. No, it's super crazy. Would recommend if you like crazy, crazy stories.
Right. All right. My next book is Hack/Resurrection by Teeny Howard, Seller, Mike Russell, Crank, Sean Dove, and Tim Seeley, because it's not Hack/ without Tim Seeley. So, this kind of takes place after she kind of retired for a while from beating up the undead and all kinds of things. And she basically has just become a gamer and lives in a trailer with her cat and drinks a lot of coffee.
Sounds like me.
Right? Do you also walk around in, like, thigh-high socks and your underwear all the time?
Ooh, no.
Okay.
I like jeans and sweaters. It's cold.
just saying, because it's totally snowing where she's at. So, like, some zombies appear, and she goes out, and she's like, damn it, now I have to get dressed. Gets the old bat out, beats the crap out of some zombies, puts on clothes, you know, does her thing. It's very, very much so a Hack/ book. You know, there's some kind of a crazy, like, villain making zombies. She's like, I'm going to have to kill zombies. God damn it. There's a scene where she, like, totally takes a chainsaw to, like, some of the bodies and throws them in the garbage. More zombies appear. And it's always, apparently, after she takes her clothes off. So, weird. Apparently, she likes to be in her underwear. So, then she gets a call from a friend of hers about going to, being like a counselor at a camp they went to, and she goes over to the camp to check it out, and they all have weapons, and they're like, welcome, Counselor Hack.
Oh, jeez.
And it's crazy. And I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
And like a true Hack/ book, it has like letter hacks with someone dressed like Cassie Hack. And then, like, you know, it is what it is. It's all from Image. It's pretty good if you like Hack/. I was never a huge Hack/ fan, but I did appreciate it. I really liked some of it. Some of it's really funny. Some of the art's usually really, really good. It's just, like, I think it was because, like, I was never able to get it when it was coming out originally that I never really got into it. So I was like, I'm going to hop on this and check this out. And I really like it. And if you like Hack/, if you like, like, Walking Dead-style books, it's basically the same thing with, like, a female lead.
Okay.
So like, if you like, Dead at 17, if you like Walking Dead, if you kind of like Walking Dead but want a little more humor in it,
okay.
that's pretty much this book. It's kind of interesting because of It's basically like this, you know, early 20s girl that's like basically beating the crap out of zombies with a bat.
That sounds awesome.
Right? I don't know how it hasn't been turned into a movie or a TV show yet.
Right, yeah.
But it's really fun. It's really good. And definitely check it out. Your local NDC. Do it. All right. What do you got?
All right. Next, I have a trade. Glitter Bomb. It's by
Jim Zub.
Jim Zub.
Nice. Yes.
One thing I have to say is that I love almost any Image comic book that I like. Image seems to really...
Say that again.
I think I like almost like any Image...
any book Image puts out?
Yeah, sorry. Okay. Sorry.
I was like, what?
Sorry. Yeah, a little confusing there.
If you like this book, you should check out Wayward. He does Wayward too.
I have actually been looking at that one too.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's like Buffy in Japan. It's kind of the vibe.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that is interesting. But, okay, so Glitter Bomb... It's different too. But okay, so like the first page starts off with what are those people you talk to that try to help you get movies? Agent. She's talking this
or like
girl.
A producer or an editor or something.
Yeah. So this girl named Farah Durante, she's talking to her agent who is like, you need to try to give me something new or I'm not going to be able to help you like get into any movies. So I need something different. What can I sell that's yours?
Right.
Literally the second page. Just
what is that?
Yeah. A massive tentacle with a thorn at the end just goes straight through the guy's head.
Oh, man.
And then... kills him instantly.
I think I'm already ready to read this.
Yeah, no, it's honestly like second page. I was just like, yo, what? And she's like, yeah, try selling that. But then the last panel on it says, oh no, it happened again.
As in, that really happened.
As in, that happened.
Oh, no.
And she's not sure what it is.
Right.
And then it goes to a 6-hour earlier scenario. She's not doing well at a audition, and she just seems kind of like a washed-up actress. She was big at one point, but then she's kind of just... She got older, dropped off the face of the earth, basically. And so she tries to go spend some time to herself, and some... walks into the water. She's at a beach and she walks into the water and something grabs a
Tente
hold of her.
Style. I mean, yeah. Wait.
Lots of tentacles.
Look at all the tentacles. Hey-o.
Yep. But then, so now she's infected with this thing that likes to kill people. But what the really cool thing about it is that it's supposed to basically represent her the back of the book says the entertainment industry feeds off of your insecurities, desires, and fears, and it's basically trying to show the ugly side of the industry. Like
right.
It's it has a very powerful message actually,
right.
About all that stuff. But no,
I mean, art's great.
The
like,
art
I can
is fantastic.
See,
I really like it.
As you're flipping through there, I imagine it gets even crazier as it goes along.
Yes. Yeah, because she ends up getting invited to a big... Like I said, she was really big at one point, and one of the actors that was on the show with her ended up dying.
Oh.
Can only
Bummer.
Guess who.
Bummer. Oh. Oh, I get it. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she goes to this thing and, ends up...
Dear God, some of this art is just really cool, like some of how this
it is, really
is
cool.
playing out.
Yeah. Then she, everyone's saying all these really nice things about the guy who died, and she goes up on stage and is like, I'm just going to call this out. This is all bullshit, right? But then there are other people.
What?
There's other people
what?
That she meets in the crowd who are also like, yeah, no, I don't want to be here. I never even liked this guy. And
right.
she basically infects them as well. That insecurity
what?
Feeds off to those people. And then they
what?
All... just
that's awesome.
Become this creature.
That's the most awesomely cool carnage-looking scene I've seen in a book in a while.
Yeah, no, it gets brutal.
Like, outside of, like, Crossed.
Yeah. Crossed seems like a whole
right, thing. Right. Oh, it is. So.
Yeah. No, it's honestly, like, it, like I said, it brings out a really intense message about the entertainment industry.
It's awesome. And I think the second volume just started on the new wall. Yep. So like issue one or two is out.
I believe the second one's out now.
Yeah. So, but you can get volume one. It's $10, which is awesome because of all the Image trades being $10 for volume one. Come by, stop, say hi to Sabine and tell, have her tell you all about Glitterbomb. My last book is Jughead the Hunger on the ongoing end, number one. So in the there was a one shot. Okay. So this is how this worked out. So Archie was like, we're going to turn Jughead into a werewolf. And they just did a one shot. And it was called Jughead the Hunger because he's always hungry. He's always eating.
Okay.
You get it?
Yeah.
So he turns into a werewolf. Betty becomes this this like monster hunter. Cause apparently she's like a werewolf hunter.
Interesting.
Right?
Just kind of like all along.
Yeah. So, yeah, apparently that's a thing.
Yeah.
So he turns into a werewolf, and in the one shot, he, like, attacks Reggie, and everybody thinks Reggie's dying, and they're, like, it starts off with them, like, you know, working on Reggie in the hospital and all this stuff, and he's like, oh, you must be dead, and then he attacks the nurse, and he wakes up. Where Jughead ran off to a circus, and is kind of like working at the circus, and this girl is there, and she kind of is hitting on him, kind of not, whatever, and he's reminiscing about the first episode or first issue. So here you can see all of it. There's Betty being all freaking weird, and so at the end of the night, he chains himself up in his trailer, so that when he turns into a werewolf, it doesn't do anything.
Right.
And then Archie and Betty are like hunting him down, and they're like attacking. Jeez. They attack this big belly burger. She's like holding this dude across from the counter, and is like, "Have you seen this guy? Did you see him? He loves burgers." And Archie's like, "Don't you think you went a little overboard?" She's like, "Not really." And then you meet her uncle. Or cousin is her cousin Bo Cooper, and he's just like in these words, looks like I got my work cut out for me, tell you what. And I'm just like,
yeah.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. I hope he dies in issue two. So then the next section of the book is Jughead wakes up, and he's in the lion's like cage, and they're all scared of him, and he's covered in blood. And he's like, what happened? And he totally killed someone. And I'll let you read it and find out who, but it was really cool. And he's just like, I didn't break out. Like, what's going on here? So he doesn't know why he ended up getting out of the thing. And then it cuts to, like, Veronica, who's complaining because, like, everybody's out hunting him. Reggie's God knows what. Archie's hanging out with Betty. And Reggie calls, and she answers the door, and he shows up, and Reggie's a giant-ass werewolf.
Nice.
So,
nice.
Yeah. Like, so I'm pretty excited to check that out. One of the variant covers was done by Bob Hack, who was here on Halloween Comics Fest. It was awesome. He came out, and I think he signed one of them that we had left on the wall. All the rest of them are the Frank Avila covers. Mm-hmm. It's a really fun book. Archie's doing just, like, some really cool fun stuff right now.
Yeah.
Now's the time to get on board with Sabrina, so when it comes out, you'll know what's going on.
Good.
It's really good. So, all right. So I forgot to do this last time. I gotta give me a second. I have some stuff. There's some new releases this week that I would like to point out for everybody. And if you go to ndcomics.com, you can hit the new releases tab and see all of these new releases every single Monday. It refreshes with what's coming out this week. So stuff that came out this week that we'll probably talk about next week. Archie 25, Astonishing X-Men 5, Avengers 673, Bane Conquest 7, Batman 34, Batman the Dark Prince Charming hardcover, which I looked at and looked really cool, but I haven't read it yet. Batman Devastator 1, which is a metal tie-in. Batman White Knight 2, which is awesome because it's Sean Murphy. Mm. Betty Page number 4, which I actually hear is pretty good right now.
Yeah.
Black Lightning Cold Dead Hands number 1, which is cool because they're going to be bringing on that show onto the CW here pretty soon.
Oh, that's
sick. Captain America 695, which is the first one with Mark Waid and Chris Samnee on. Cyborg 18, Dastardly and Muttley 3. That's right, there's a Dastardly and Muttley comic, and you should be reading it. Dead Man number 1 by Neil Adams, and it's got a glow-in-the-dark variant cover. It's pretty sweet. Let's see here. Green Arrow 34, Green Lanterns 34, which is also written by Tim Seeley. Iceman 7, Inhumans, Once and Future King 4. Iron Fist 74, Lazaretto 3, Mask First Strike 1, Nam Wolf Volume 1.
Nice.
Nam Wolf. Nightwing 32, number 1 with a bullet number 1, which actually looked kind of cool. I'll probably check that out.
Yeah.
Paper Girls 17, for those of you who need the saga fix, there's your Brian K. Vaughan book for this week. Peter Parker Spectacular Spider-Man number 6, which that book's been great. ROM 14, Power Pack 63, which is the first Power Pack book we've had in a long time. Regular Spider-Man 234, Darth Vader 7, Steven Universe, Anti-Gravity, original soft cover, graphic novel, volume 2. Superman 34, Ninja Turtles, Ghostbusters number 1, Jetsons number 1. That's right, Jetsons number 1. Really hoping it's as good as like Future Quest and stuff like that. Unpresidential, the graphic novel. Yeah. Let's see. Very DC Universe Rebirth Christmas.
Ah.
That's a big title. Voltron Legendary Defender Volume 2, number 2. And Wormwood Goes to Washington, number 2.
That one looked intriguing, I thought.
It does. There's a lot of other cool stuff coming out. I can't obviously read the entire list every single week. So make sure you guys go to your local NDC and check it out. If you want to start a subscription, we do that too. We have 6 locations. Just go to ndcomics.com and check them all out. Or follow any of us on social media. All right, so now we have some time. So this is cool because this is, I guess we'll try to keep it spoiler free. So we're now going to review Thor Ragnarok because we are awesome and we got to see a screener on Monday.
Yeah.
And it's your first time going to a screener with us, right?
Yeah, so, that was my first
time.
It was pretty, I was pretty pleased. Not gonna lie.
It was a lot of fun. So if you don't want to hear spoilers about this movie, just turn off the podcast. We'll catch you next week. But it's gonna be a lot of fun, and we'll try to do it as spoiler free as possible. But I can't promise you anything because it's so good.
Yeah, honestly,
so good. Yeah. So some guys saw it yesterday, right? Because it's Friday while we're doing this right now, and one of those guys is Brian, who works here at the Mills, and he sends me this text message last night, and he's like, "So I saw Thor," and I was like, "Yeah," and he's like, "Really liked it." I'm like, yeah, I did too.
Yeah,
and he was like, "What'd you think of it?" I was like, "I thought it was fun. I thought that, you know, this, that, and the other thing, blah, blah, blah." And he just kind of like keeps, like, he's just kind of like, "Yeah, there were a lot of Easter eggs, blow." And I'm like, "Yeah, there were." And he called out a lot of the ones that everybody saw on the trailer, like the Beta Ray Bill face on the tower of previous champions. I was like, well, there's Ares on there too, which makes sense because like there's when he's in the arena, like he's holding like Hercules's mace, and like, "What?" And
I was gonna say, I heard a lot of people mentioning that there were a lot of like, or a few,
there's a
like
lot of
comic
Easter eggs,
book Easter eggs. Yeah. I didn't notice many of them, just because I.
There was my other really favorite one, I think, was the Valkyrie one, because The original Valkyrie in the comics is a blonde-haired girl named Brunhilde.
Ah, so was Kay? It?
So in the there's a flashback scene where you find out what happened to the actual Valkyries, and in like part of it, this blonde Valkyrie, kind of like saves the current Valkyrie for the movie, and it's totally it's got to be Brunhilde. It totally looks like her, and I was just like, oh, that's awesome, and like, somebody was like, I don't get it. And I was like, well, when you go see it again, because I know you're going to watch that scene. And they're like, okay. But it was pretty fun. I found out that 70% of the dialogue was ad-libbed.
No way.
Yeah. I was like,
really?
I was like, that makes sense.
I was going to say Jeff Goldblum was in it, of course. Oh,
yeah. Well, you can kind of tell, like there's moments, but, I like for me, I thought it was fun. It was funny. Is the best of the Thor movies, not just because of the humor, but because I think the story moved along well and it didn't seem distracted.
I would agree. Yeah, I wasn't too crazy about the first two ones. They were all right. They were all right. This one definitely took the cake, though.
Oh, yeah. It's really good. but, you know, there were definitely some other cool Easter eggs in there, too. Like, there's a... They talk about when he got turned into a frog, and I was like, oh, that's awesome. They mentioned frog. That's great. And there's some other things. For those of you who get weirded out by Hela's backstory, they basically, like, merge with Hela, or with Angela, sorry. So in the comics, Angela is Thor's sister that gets banished to the 10th realm, which is the realm of the angels, and Thor and Loki have to go and find her. And then they bring her back, and then Odin's like, what the hell did you do that for?
Ah.
So, and she's really mad and tries to take over Asgard.
Okay.
And then she becomes, like, the queen of hell. Mm-hmm. So, she basically becomes Hela in the book. So, in the comics, Hela and, I always say it wrong, Fenrir?
Fenrir.
The big wolf are Loki's kids in the comics.
Wild.
Right? And that's why that's why she wears green.
Okay.
And but in the movie they don't talk about Fenrir's ancestry.
Yeah.
Because that would be a little weird. That'd be a little weird, right?
Yeah. I was gonna say I was a tiny bit disappointed by that because I love Fenrir as a
character.
Well, it's just like Norse mythology. It's always like one of my favorites. So I like mythology a lot.
Right?
But yeah.
And Hela in the comics is Loki's daughter. And in the movie, they made her Loki and Thor's sister, like older sister, so that they kind of like blended her with the Angela thing. Mm-hmm. So it worked out for the storytelling and it wasn't too awkward. She was still Asgardian, just not by the same. Well, she's Asgardian in this one. She would have been Frost Giant.
Interesting.
I guess because Loki's still a frost giant.
That's true.
You know, he's just a wee tiny frost giant. But it was really, I thought it was really good. Like everything from, actually, I think the parts that I found the most like filler were the scenes with Odin. Like it was just really boring.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I felt a lot of emotion. I really
it might have just been like that Odin is like in human clothes.
True.
I was like, is he wearing like a members only jacket? Yeah. Like, what is going on here?
Pretty bland. You know? Yeah.
It was totally dressed like an old man. Yeah. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of the deal. Like, it was the most drab looking part of the whole movie. So it kind of had to change that tone.
Right.
You know?
No, that makes sense.
So, no, it was really good. I thought Kate Blanchett as Hela was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
She did a great job.
Yep.
Everything about the them being on Sakaar was great. So it's pretty much like a nod to World War Hulk. That's where Sakaar came from.
Okay.
But Jeff Goldblum is the Grandmaster.
Honestly,
so,
all the scenes that
so
he's in,
good.
I enjoy him so much.
He's
funny.
Basically playing Jeff Goldblum, which is the
basically.
Best part. Yeah. So it was really funny, and there's a scene where they steal like his his ship, and They find out, like, it's his ship that he just has orgies on.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like...
They're, like, in the middle of a firefight, too. And they're like, where are the guns on this thing? it was used for other things.
Right. And they hit this button, and all of a sudden, like, this, like, dancing Jeff Goldblum hologram starts, like, it's my birthday! And I'm just like...
Fireworks exploding everywhere. Strobe lights.
Oh,
yeah.
So good. It was fantastic. And I'm just like... That, if that was ad-lib, that was awesome.
I hope it was. It would just make it more wonderful.
Right.
Yeah.
This is probably the coolest Hulk stuff we've gotten ever.
Yeah.
And it just because it made Hulk more than just, like, screamy, smashy Hulk. He actually got lines. It was kind of cool to see him. And it was weird because, like, when he turns back into Banner, Banner's, like, really lost.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a complete role reversal for once.
Yeah.
But I thought it was great. I thought everything with Surtur was great, which isn't a spoiler because he's totally in a commercial. I just thought it went really, really well. Like, it wasn't anything.
It wasn't, like, super... I would say the beginning was just the tiniest bit rushed, but they had to set up the story and everything. Besides that, it, like, went very smoothly.
Also, all the cameos in the play of Thor and Loki.
Yes.
So Matt Damon.
I pointed that out, and my boyfriend was like, "No, that wasn't Matt." I was like, "Yes, that was Matt Damon."
Yeah, I'm sitting with Chris Lemke, and he's just like, "Matt Damon."
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then the guy playing Thor in that was actually Helmsworth's older brother.
Yes, yeah.
And the guy playing Odin was one of the guys. He was the professor guy in Jurassic Park. Like, the guy with the fedora hat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You just can't really tell because he has a beard.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wow, that's crazy. Like,
that is wild.
Like, looking at all these. but there's some really cool scenes. Like, it's visually stunning.
Mm-hmm.
It goes fast. The humor's not forced, I don't think, which is what I didn't like about Guardians of the Galaxy was that the humor felt forced.
Okay.
I thought this felt more organic, like Ant-Man.
I was going to say, I feel like everyone had really good chemistry with each other. That was one of the biggest things.
It was weird having Thor go from, like this god who is, like, not humorous and just wants to fight all the time to, like, just being wisecracking the whole time, which was cool because he kind of started doing that in, Age of Ultron, I guess, would have been the one he started joking around a little more.
Yeah, I would
and
say so.
I guess he did a little more in Thor 2. He was a little more humorous in Thor 2, like where he like hung the hammer on the on the wall. That was pretty funny.
Him with that hammer, it cracks me up. Just randomly throws it at the dragon. That
he just, like, drops it in its mouth and it just sticks to the floor and the dragon's, like, screaming and he's just like, meh,
yep.
Heimdall. I did feel that, and I don't know if you felt the same way, but I thought that, what's his name? The guy who ended up being the new Heimdall.
Idris Elba?
No. I'm fine with his character in this movie.
Okay.
The guy that took over for him at the...
I don't remember his name, but I know...
This is going to bother me.
Wait a second. I got this.
It's something the Executioner. That's all I know. Because in the comics, he was actually, like, decently badass and kind of a douche. And in this, he just felt like some dude who liked to brag a lot and try to get chicks.
I didn't know that there was so much more depth to him. But, he seemed...
Character. It's the dude who played Bones in Star Trek, though. So, like, there's a scene where, like, they're walking through, like, these catacombs, all these dead Asgardians. And I just looked at Chris beside me and I went, they're all dead, Jim. They're dead.
Oh, wow.
What is his name? It's,
I'm looking up the cast and, wow, he's, like, not.
Yeah, he's probably way toward the bottom. But we'll go back to that. We'll figure out who that dude is or what the character's name is because I can't remember. But the other thing that I thought was a little bit sad. Scourge. It was Scourge the Executioner.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I like that actor a lot.
Yeah, no,
I just
he's fun.
Thought that the character was underused.
Mm-hmm.
The one scene that bothered me the most of the whole movie is Hela comes through the Bifrost and just kills the like 2/3 of the Warriors 3. Like Fendral and Volstagg are there, they don't even get to say anything.
Yeah.
They're just like dead. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
No, I understand like the idea of we got to make her look badass.
I was gonna
say,
yeah,
through
that's
that.
Probably they were trying to really build
right.
her up. Yeah.
But I was like, you could have done that so much more differently to make it not awkward for the fans of the Warriors 3. I guess is my take on it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. But it was pretty good. I really enjoyed the whole deal.
Korg was my favorite.
Korg was great.
Korg
oh, I forgot about Korg. He's just so funny. He's so soft spoken.
Just so blatant.
I love when like he's like walking Thor around the room and Thor's yes. like running and he just keeps running in circles and he's like, how does this keep happening? He's like, well, it's a room.
It's a circle.
It's a circle. But it's a room. What?
Yeah. My favorite was when his friend.
Oh, at the end?
He's carrying his friend.
He's like, oh, he died.
I felt so bad. I've just been carrying him the whole time.
And then he like wakes up. He's like, hey, he's alive.
Yeah, that was my favorite.
That was good.
I am getting that pop figure, too.
There you go.
Yep.
I thought this was a really good. A good way to get Loki to be to blur the line between hero and villain, like the anti-hero end,
because
he starts off kind of villainy, and
of
then
course, little trickster,
right? And then like in the middle, he's still kind of villainy, and then by the end, he's like helping Thor move people off of Asgard.
Yeah.
But I thought it was cool. Like, the whole scene in the Colosseum. Where like Hulk comes out and then Loki gets all scared.
Yes, he's like, I need to leave.
Grandmaster's like, where are you going? He's like, I gotta go.
Yeah.
And then like,
and then Hulk starts
like
smashing,
just beating the
Thor,
shit out of Thor.
And Loki jumps up. Yeah, that's how it feels. That was wonderful.
Oh, so good. I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah. That was great.
That was a really fun scene. I really enjoyed it. So all right, that's pretty much all I had planned, unless you want to talk about anything nerdy and fun that you can think of.
I was gonna say I'm still trying to introduce myself to a lot, so a lot trying. I'm trying to play some. I got into Magic again.
No.
Yeah, I bought a Commander deck.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
Come to the dark side.
Yep, I got a cat deck.
No, you?
Yeah.
No.
Of course, no. It's me with my 8 animals. Why
right.
wouldn't I go with a cat deck?
I found that out the other day when we were working together. She has, like, basically a pet store in her house.
Yes.
I'm like, I can never go over because I'm going to be allergic to pretty much most of the stuff
yeah,
you have.
Yeah, I have some friends who can't come over just because they're allergic. Some animals,
that's how I think that's how some of my friends keep me out of their house. They just are like, oh, you're allergic to cats. Hey honey, let's get a cat. That way John will never come over. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I really appreciate it.
Right. how are you liking it? Do you play on Wednesdays or Saturdays here at the Mills?
No,
both?
I think I'm going to start playing on Saturdays because Ixalan really stuck out to me because I love dinosaurs.
Right?
So, yeah. No, I want to make a dinosaur deck so badly.
Sweet.
So yeah, I might start doing that.
Sweet. It'll be a lot of fun. The guys that play here are a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
They're
very welcoming.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you've never...
Willing to help.
Yeah.
It's
if you've never played Commander, you've never played Magic before, just come out on Wednesdays or Saturdays. That's their casual nights, Wednesdays, which is mostly Commander anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturday they have a Commander night, which is also, I think, paired up with the
Standard
Showdown.
Yes.
So if you like to play Standard, that's the time to come out. It's very casual, very hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of fun. Like, everybody here is very, very chill. Not super competitive-y.
Right.
But you're going to come out making a friend, at least. And, you know, you can talk to Smeen about her cats and her cat deck and Glitter Bomb. And
yeah, I am very welcome to.
Now, if they made a book called Cat Lobotomy, you'd be totally into it.
That would be crazy.
Are you reading Hero Cats? You should totally read Hero Cats.
I keep looking at it. I'm like, oh, it looks so cute, but it's in the kids section, so I don't want to get judged for picking it.
No, it's fine. I know a lot of adults that read Hero Cats. I've met the creative team. The artist at shows will draw cats, like he'll draw your cat
as
a hero cat. Oh yeah, yeah. Ooh, it's real cool.
That's awesome.
Yep, very, very fun. Yeah, that's about it. So I guess it's gonna be a little bit of a short one, but definitely stay tuned. We're gonna try to keep this rolling every week, and hopefully we'll have Sabine back because she was a lot of fun.
Hey, thanks.
And if you're in the mills, give her a high five. And that's about it. I will see everybody at local comic shop day. All right, bye.
Bye.